You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and Louise Anthony. This week we're looking at the science behind keeping the Olympics safe. Louise.
With tens of thousands of people visiting the Olympic Park during the Games and with them all attending at the same time, venues inside the grounds need to be able to handle large crowds safely and efficiently. The risk of congestion is quite high, and this can cause both distress and discomfort for the individuals who have to queue. But now, scientists are using mathematical models to visualise how large crowds move in certain spaces in order to predict where problems might arise. And this means architects can overcome these issues before the designs have even left the drawing board. This new technology is now being used in a wide range of public spaces, including the recently refurbished King's Cross Station in London. Meera Senthilingam went along to the station to meet Stephen Bishop, the Professor of Dynamics at University College London, to find out how these models can keep crowds on the move.
We're here at King's Cross Station in London, where a new concourse opened back in March earlier this year. This station sees over 40 million people passing through every year, which is about nearly 110,000 people every day. So when designing such a station, the movements and mentalities of crowds and how they move through need to be accounted for. So Steve, this is what you really look into, the mathematical modelling of people as they move through a space such as this.
Yes, Meera, modelling crowd movement in major structures is an important aspect of all design nowadays for large structures. This one's pretty magnificent, actually. It looks very stadia-like on the inside, and certainly a lot of modelling would have had to be done in the design process.
So how do you actually model people and the movement of people mathematically? What's taken into account?
Well, there's three factors, really. There's the individual person themselves. The second is the crowd movement as an object, really. But there's also the environment with which they're within. So those three aspects all need to come into play.
And so what do you actually do to see, perhaps, how those factors would come together and get, say, hundreds of thousands of people moving through a station like this every day?
Well, firstly, an understanding of flows, like fluid flows, are very useful to give an overview of what's happening, to understand how those flows move through an object, through a space. But it's also important then to think about how individuals behave, because we're not robots. We don't always act as flows. We often go against the flow, so we have to understand how individuals behave, which is sometimes irrational.
What would you say are the main ways that, say, models can be combined with design in order to make a space crowd-friendly?
So the important thing is, with mathematics, you can actually do modelling on the computer. So you can do experiments on a computer in silico, saving you the hassle of having to build a structure and find out there's a problem later on. The idea is you can run through different scenarios very quickly on a computer so that we can really understand how the form and the function interrelate.
So let's take this King's Cross here as an example. What kinds of things are around us that you can see have been perhaps thought about to model people moving through? Because just below us here, there are just at least hundreds of people passing every minute, and there's no congestion. It's all very free-flowing.
It's a fascinating thing to watch, actually, especially if you watch it speeded up. But, of course, where the columns are to support even the roof, a really important part of what's going on. And in particular, where are they positioned in relation to exits and entrances?
But it's got very high ceilings, and it's very light in here, and generally quite a pleasant environment. Is this quite important for crowds?
Of course, it's aesthetically pleasing, but it also makes people feel a bit happier if they can see light and have space above them as well as around them. So they've learned quite a lot of lessons. Don't forget, there was a fire not 100 yards from here, on King's Cross Underground fire, that was a major disaster in 1987. So we have learned something from that.
Yes, because so that touched on the fact that there have been various failures in the past where large crowds have been involved. So what really needs to be known then about what happens, say, in the case of an emergency where large numbers of people are involved?
So when we look at past failures, we often find there are many contributing factors. It's not just a single entity. So firstly, when large groups of people get together, there's often stop-go in their flow, so that when they stop, they begin to panic and worry about what's going on. Then if you get inflows and outflows coming together, or cross flows, that becomes really problematic. More importantly, in new buildings where you don't know where you are, you're not sure where the exits are. So this is a really critical factor of getting people to know really that the alternative ways out. And that's where training of new staff comes in helpful.
So is that the kind of thing that's accommodated now, that extra level of information for people to know where to go?
Information and monitoring. So firstly, King's Cross here is monitored probably more than any station in the world. But secondly, information can be given back to the people via announcements that we can hear almost every few minutes. So information to be gained and information given out is really critical in the time of stress.
Does this tap in on human psychology and kind of human behaviour and the fact that people like to know what's going on?
It does, absolutely. And that's where mathematicians like myself would have to work with psychologists. Everybody is different, so it's quite important to understand how people behave. You know, we can learn a lot from studying other animals too, but people that have this particular thing that they have a real choice. You can make decisions much, much quicker. And so we really need to understand those to get the right result.
What about the actual design of the structure? What else can you see here that perhaps would have been thought about to keep crowds moving? I mean, for example, there is a one-way system in place here. Does that make quite a big difference?
That's a huge difference here. The arrivals and departures being separated makes a lot of difference, particularly if for the arrivals you have lots of people waiting to meet other people. So these are very stationary objects, and this can create problems.
And how do you account for the different types of disaster, I guess, that could happen? Because there could be a fire or there could be a bomb scare, say, in a station like this. I mean, do these all need to be thought about differently?
Yes, those and more, actually. I mean, even somebody fainting or a fight occurring by an exit. So really, people have to sit down and think out of the box, what could possibly go wrong, and then we try and then prevent that failure. So once we know what they possibly are, we can design against it.
And what about, I guess, the context of the actual building and its purpose? So this is a large station with people moving through it each day, but something like for the Olympics, a stadium is very much people that are stationary and only moving at very specific times.
Yeah, it's quite a critical in a stadium because although people may arrive slightly staggered, they all pretty much leave at the same time. The important thing to remember there is if everybody's leaving all at once at the final whistle, or the exits needs to be large enough to account for that. And you also have to have signage and make sure that people don't stop immediately outside the door is another critical thing. We often see that in fire evacuations. People stand immediately outside the door and just block the exit for everybody else.
So it's keeping people moving again.
It's always the case. If people are moving, they're generally happy. When they're stationary, they tend to get a bit edgy.
So in summary, really, what position would you say we're in today using these models and designing buildings for large numbers of people?
We're certainly in a much better position, Mira, because we have the experience of what's gone before and the technology to actually predict what might happen in certain scenario events. So we have understanding of people's behaviour together with information technology, as well as bright, airy designs. On top of that, we can add scenario setting from mathematical modelling to actually help us really understand the whole picture, so understanding how it all comes together.
And that was Stephen Bishop from University College London talking to Mira Senthilingam on how modelling the movement of people can help keep crowds moving at the Olympic Games this summer.